The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed it. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us for your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today is known as Trinity Sunday. This festival divides, as it were, the church year into two parts. The first is called the festival half of the church year. It extends from Advent to Trinity and comprises the high festivals of the church, the days of which tell of Jesus' coming, birth, Epiphany, suffering, death, resurrection, ascension, and of his sending the Holy Spirit. The Christian is to live this part of the year with Jesus by commemorating in a worthy manner these memorable events in the life of Jesus. We have just again passed through this part of the church year and have arrived at the beginning of the last half, which is devoted to the teachings of Jesus. Thus the festival of the Trinity serves to conclude the first part and to open for us the second half of the church year. To bind these two halves together, the church has selected the very comprehensive doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Today's text speaks of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and tells us of the revelation of the Trinity, of the mystery of the Trinity, and of the blessings of the Trinity. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, the revelation of the Trinity. In our text, the Trinity is revealed to us. For the first person, the Father, makes his presence known by speaking from heaven and testifying of Jesus, the Son of Mary. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The second person, the Son of God, reveals himself standing visibly in the waters of the Jordan River, being baptized by John. While the third person, the Holy Spirit, reveals himself in the form of a dove, descending from heaven and alighting upon Jesus. What a glorious and impressive revelation of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that is by no means the only revelation which God has given us of the three persons of the Godhead. In many places of Holy Scripture, we hear of these three persons in the one and only true God. In creation, the Father, the first person, spoke the Word. The Word, the second person, the one through whom all things were made, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, who became incarnate and whose glory the apostles saw in the flesh, and we see in the Word, Jesus of Nazareth. And of the Holy Spirit read in the sacred record of creation, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And again in Numbers chapter 6, we read that God commanded Moses to tell Aaron, the high priest, to bless the children of Israel in the name of the three persons, calling each one Lord. Thus all blessings were to come to God's people through that triune God who is three in person but one in essence. From that time, about 3,000 years ago, till today, we have still used this very benediction, which we pronounce, teach, and acknowledge the triune God. For we also say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." In the Psalms, these three persons are mentioned. For instance, in Psalm 2 verse 7, the Father and the Son are mentioned. In Psalm 45, the Son of God is exalted as the bridegroom of the church. Likewise, in Psalm 72 and in Psalm 110, he is also mentioned. The Holy Spirit is mentioned by the sweet psalmist of Israel in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2. Isaiah, also in telling of his vision of God, testifies that the one Lord was acclaimed by the threefold cry of "Holy, holy, holy" in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, as we heard before in the Old Testament lesson. And at the very beginning of the New Testament, in the first chapter of Matthew, there is a revelation of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, describing the birth of Jesus. It would take too long to quote all the passages of the New Testament where Jesus speaks of the Father and again speaks of the Holy Spirit as different persons from himself. Jesus prays to the Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." And he declares of the Holy Spirit, "But when the Comforter comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth." Indeed, this doctrine of the Holy Trinity is so clearly revealed in Holy Scripture, so positively and unmistakably taught, that no one can enter the Christian Church who does not know it and accept it. For at the very portals of the Christian Church, the sacrament by which we enter it, namely Holy Baptism, is to be performed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that is, in the name of the Triune God. St. Paul also in his letters refers to this doctrine. For example, he concludes his second epistle to the Corinthians with the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 13, verse 14. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." There is therefore no excuse for anyone deceiving himself by thinking that it is sufficient to acknowledge that there is a God, some God. The one and only true God has clearly revealed himself as the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and only those people worship the true God who worship this Holy Trinity. But all those people who do not believe in this divine revelation and do not worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons in one being, are not Christians, but are idolaters. God does not ask us to have our own imagination concerning him, but he has shown himself clearly here in the text and in many other places that we might know him, the only true God, love him, serve him, and worship him. Therefore we sing the Gloria Patri and the Gloria in Excelsis, and therefore we confess the three articles of the Apostles' Creed. Secondly, the mystery of the Trinity. But are there not some difficulties concerned with this doctrine? How can there be one being and yet three persons? Indeed, this doctrine of the Triune God is the most mysterious teaching, far beyond our natural understanding or comprehension. Something of this appears also here in our text. Here the Father reveals himself by a voice coming from heaven. He declares concerning that man Jesus standing there in the water, "This is my beloved Son." Is this not a mystery? Is this not far, far above our understanding? And the mystery is by no means removed, but rather increased, when we hear that there is a third person in union with this Father and the Son, and that he shows himself here in the form of a dove, alighting upon the Son of God. As in simple faith we gaze upon this revelation of the Triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we exclaim with Paul in Romans chapter 11, as we heard in our epistle, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counsellor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory for ever." There are those people whom this mystery offends. They hesitate to accept the revelation because the mystery seems too great to them. But what is more natural than that God's being should be a mystery to us? In the first place, our own being is a mystery. And then there is the world and the heavens with their myriad of stars. There is that wonderful sun with its light and heat burning for thousands of years. the source of whose fire no scientist or philosopher has ever been able to explain. In ourselves, the union between spirit and body, what a mystery. On every hand, those who are not dull, stupid or arrogant must, as they see, hear and contemplate the marvels of God's creation, exclaim with the psalmist, O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. And again, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you should visit him? And again, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. God, who has created all these things, who has given to the stars their course and to the sea its power, who holds the great ocean in the hollow of his hand, who has ordained the seasons of the year, before whom the mightiest men of this earth, the greatest intellects and the men of highest power, are but dust and ashes. Is it strange that there is a mystery in God, in his being? Why refuse his definite, clear, unmistakable revelation and word when out in nature the works of his hands baffle all attempts at explanation? The only wise course for us is to take the advice of our good shepherd, and when facing this mystery of the Trinity, as we have here in the text, become again as little children, so that with childlike faith we may accept what our Heavenly Father tells us in his word. Indeed, we ought to be thankful that God deals with us as children. He offers us the deepest and greatest mysteries, not that we should solve them, but that we should believe them upon the testimony of his own truthful word. Let us stand in awe of God, whose very creation fills us with awe, wonder and admiration. Let us cast down our foolish imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Indeed, may our hearts at all times be ready to join the sacred hymn to the Triune God, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. So thirdly, the blessings of the Trinity. The hymn just quoted does not only speak of the Trinity, but of the blessed Trinity. And this is the third thing to which our text calls attention, namely the blessings of the Holy Trinity. The revelation of the mystery of the Trinity, which we find here in our text, is not offered to simply fill us with consternation and to impress us with the incomprehensible nature of God, but it is offered to us that we may be made partakers of those blessings which a Triune God wishes to bestow upon us. Listen to what the Father declares. He says of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He thereby declares to us all that the Father is the one who is pleased in all that the Son does for us. For we know that this Jesus came into the world for us, not that he should be ministered to, but that he should minister and give his life a ransom for many. In other words, the Father here reveals himself as that God of whom Jesus said in John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Father here reveals himself as the one of whom Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father," the God of mercy, truth and love, who has provided for us the Saviour, of whom the Scripture declares that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, our Creator indeed, but also the one who draws us to the Son, and through the Son, to heaven. And here you see the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, being baptized by John. He declares that he wishes to fulfill all righteousness. We know that he did not have to do this for himself. He had an immutable, eternal righteousness and needed no other. But we know why he is called Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. We know why he came to this earth. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is the Jesus of whom John the Baptist, who was baptizing him, said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is the Jesus of whom not only one or two, but all true prophets of all times, countries and languages have testified the same thing. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, which we find in Jesus for time and for eternity. We hear of the blessings of the Holy Spirit. He is shown in the form of a dove, because through the gospel the Holy Spirit brings peace to us from heaven, from the highest court, from that judge, from whose sentence no one can appeal, who decides, and the matter is decided forever. He gives us power to become the sons of God, to believe in our Saviour, and through whose holy inspiration the triad God enters our hearts, lives and dwells there, of whom we say in the third article of the Apostles' Creed, "Who daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day he'll raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ." Through the water and the Spirit and holy baptism, which is mentioned here in our text, the Holy Spirit has entered our hearts, made us children of God. It's through the Word of God preserving us in faith, and will finally, through faith, give us the victory over sin, death, and the devil. So let us close with the words of the hymnist. Glory be to God the Father, glory be to God the Son, glory be to God the Spirit, everlasting, three in one. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.